Bill, how you doing?
Great, Michael. How are you guys doing?
Oh, doing
Ben,
pretty
Andy.
Well.
How are we doing?
Good.
We were just talking about visitors to practice, and I remember before you had joint practices with Philadelphia and Chip Kelly. Remember Chip Kelly used to come down here and talk with you guys. What do you get out of it was a novelty for a while, but now you've been doing it for several years now, joint practices. I know you had them with New Orleans. You had them with Atlanta. You know, what do you guys get out of that?
Well, it's good to work against different people and different schemes. So I think that just helps us prepare for some of the things we're going to see during the season that we don't do. And, you know, it gives you the opportunity to evaluate different matchups. We see our guys against our guys. Now we can see our guys against different types of players, different skill sets.
Have you refined it a bit when you first start doing joint practices and thinking, okay, this is what we can get out of it, but now that you've seen the operation flow, maybe you're doing something differently now than you did, you know, 3 or 4 years ago in terms of practicing with another team?
Well, I think the main thing is that the two teams need to work together well. So when I talk to the other coach and I talk about what we want to get out of it and they talk about what they want to get out of it, and then we find some kind of balance so that we can get as much as what we both want. Sometimes it's the same thing. Sometimes it might be a little different. But I think it's all the things that we've done with all the teams that you mentioned have been good experiences for us, and we've been able to benefit from them. You know, if you emphasize one thing, then you're missing something else. And if you do that, you can't get it all, but you can decide what you want to do and make progress in those areas.
How is the process different? Because this was traditionally something that teams did, had scrimmages. You guys had the Giants, I think 01 might have been the last year. And then it seemed like teams got away from it for a while, and now we're back to the joint practices. How is it different now than maybe it was traditionally?
Well, I think the schedule's a little bit different now. We were back, in previous CBAs, training camp was more 3 weeks. And a lot of times teams would have their own inner squad scrimmage, maybe the week before the preseason game, the first preseason game. So that game was, split squad, and, a lot of times it was a big community event in the stadium and so forth. The way it is now, it's kind of too early to really do that. So I think the practice format, maybe for us anyway, works a little bit better than trying to get into a full game operation, which that's hard enough to do in 15 days as it is. So I think the practice setup just allows you to segment it a little bit, make sure you get the things that you're looking for.
Bill, it's interesting you mentioned the new CBA, because it seems like in the new CBA, it's good for players because they get days off and limits on practice, and it's great for the owners, obviously, but what about the coaches? I mean, it's made it a lot more difficult, it seems, for you to get your team ready for the regular season, and now there's even talk about eliminating the fourth preseason game and only going back to three. How much more difficult would that make your job?
Well, the one thing about it is, Ben, it's all the same for all 32 teams, so whatever it is, it is. If nobody practices, then nobody practices, and we just play games. If we go to training camp on July 5th and have six preseason games like we had in 1975, then that's the way it is. So whatever it is, but it'll be the same for all the teams. So I think the most important thing for us is just to make the most out of whatever opportunities we have.
Falling under it is what it is, one of the new things we've seen this year, the Surface tablets on the sideline, a little technological advance. I guess my first question would just be just a nuts and bolts thing. Is it just for photos? Is it just basically replacing the Polaroids? Is
yes.
And is there any talk that it'll be more than that, or is that where it stays?
I have no idea. You'd have to talk to somebody else besides me. I don't know.
And I know as a guy who we've seen have trouble changing the time in his car occasionally, how did you think the first went, and did you get to use it much, and how do you feel?
I used it a little bit. I think probably getting familiar with it is going to be part of the equation for all of us. The way it's done is a little bit different probably than most of what most of us are used to, but I don't think that's a bad thing. Just take a little bit of an adjustment, and we'll see how dependable really they can be down on the field. I think the press box where they're hardwired should be fine. The wireless down on the field can go in and out. We've seen that in several of the games last weekend. So we'll have to see how consistent and dependable that is.
Do you lean on your son or your younger coaches to kind of bring you up to speed on this technology?
Well, no, I think it's pretty straightforward. If it's working, it's working. If it's not working, then you either have to go plug it in and get the data from a hard wire connection, or you wait till the Wi-Fi comes back up and it's accessible remotely on the bench. So it's those are your two choices.
And is it like headsets where if one side loses it, the other side?
I don't think there's really been a clarification on that. That's one of the questions that we had that. I'm not sure what the answer to that is. So, certainly a good question, one that will, I would imagine, come up.
Hey, Bill, last weekend
have those old school photos ready just in case.
Have a Polaroid ready.
At least they were foolproof.
Right.
You say that, you don't have to worry about the Wi-Fi in the stadium going out for those.
Well, they were, but there were. There were issues with those at times too, whether it be the printer didn't work or the printer came and gave you like fuzzy prints or things like that. And there never was any reciprocal agreement with the other sideline or the other team that if my Polaroids weren't working, then you weren't able to use yours. That was never part of it. So my guess is, Andy, to your question on the tablets, that it probably won't be a reciprocal thing, but I don't know that. Whereas the headsets and communicating plays and all, that's a different story. Although the coach to quarterback doesn't fall under that either. It's only the press box to the sideline communication. So we'll just have to read the fine print and the rules and see how this is going to be handled.
One thing that I heard a lot in Washington last week or in Richmond, the Redskins, people around the team were so impressed that on Tuesday, after a grueling three-hour practice where you guys were really butting heads, you had the players, like you do every practice, running sprints and to wind down practice. So we know that week one is in Miami, which, as you know, can be very hot and humid in September. How different are you conducting training camp this year to get ready just for the heat and the humidity of that game?
Well, it's usually hot wherever we play. We've opened in Buffalo, and I think that might have been one of the hottest days, opening days I've been around, or here for that matter, in Foxborough. So, early September can be pretty hot anywhere. We're practicing in the heat in July and August, so hopefully we'll be somewhat ready for it. I think the biggest issue is just, the games at 1 o'clock as opposed to being night games, and the second thing is just the amount of plays that players are playing in the preseason games that, hardly any players play the whole game, and that'll change when we get to the regular season. So the getting in game shape by playing football, by pushing and hitting and, competing against each other in game situations is a little bit different than doing it in practice situations. Even though the heat may be the same, but it's a little bit different. So I think those are, the two big adjustments that every team has to go through at the beginning of the season, just adapt into the 1 o'clock Sunday games of having a 46-man roster as opposed to however many guys in the 90 are there now.
Chip Kelly and the Eagles are coming here for joint practices tomorrow. Chip has been lauded for his visionary offense, his next-level training methods. I'm just wondering how your relationship with him started. I know it started a while ago. How did it begin?
Well, as we know, Chip's a New England guy. And he's been part of this area and region for a long time. So have I. So our paths have crossed. And, we just had a friendship. And he was a little bit in New Hampshire. And then when he went to Oregon, and then we've been able to work together here. So. He's a guy I have a lot of respect for. He certainly, paid his dues and worked his way up and gotten his opportunity and shown what kind of a coach and teacher and, what kind of foresight he has for the game. Very creative and innovative. So I have a lot of respect for Chip, and not just for his creativeness, but the way he does things and, the type of solid person and program that he runs.
Bill, obviously this time of year we are out there and we see you use a ton of different personnel groupings, mixing it up within groups, different groups. And I'm wondering, is there a phase in training camp where you start doing less of that and more of, well, these are the guys that are going to play together, we got to get them more reps playing together in 2 weeks when the regular season starts? Is there a transition at some point there in August?
I think there is. Yeah, and that can vary from position to position or group to group or one side of the ball to the other. I don't know if there's any set formula on that. Certainly you want to do it as soon as possible, and when you know that you feel like you've made the right decision, you don't want to do it and then have to undo it and redo it again and that kind of thing. So, you know, we try to go through a period where we get everybody a lot of opportunities, a lot of repetitions with different combinations to see how guys play with different people and get them used to playing with different people, because eventually we're going to have to do that anyway. And then at some point we'll try to hone in on, as you said, the groups that will probably receive more playing time and need to start playing together and communicating together. So it's there's a balance there, and I don't know if it's that specific or if I could pinpoint the time, date, when it has to happen, but at some point you certainly got to start moving in that direction.
To look at that at a little bit more of a microscopic level with the safety position, we've seen a lot of guys get reps, not only in just combinations, but next to Devin McCourty. How do you feel like that has played out, that competition and those reps and the bodies there?
Good. I think we have a lot of competent players in that position, both defensively and in the kicking game. I think we have a very competitive group of safeties. They're smart. They work hard. They've shown the ability to play in the kicking game and play defensively. Even though some of their skill sets are a little bit different, they've still shown a good ability to perform well in those two units. So I think we have a real competitive group back there.
You know, we've talked quite a bit over the years about left cornerback, right cornerback, left guard, right guard. Some guys, you can move them all along the line and it's no difference to them. And some guys, you know, the left side just feels more natural than the right side at various positions. Now, thinking about cornerback, there's been quite a bit of debate among us over the past week or two about Darrell Revis and Brandon Browner. You know, how are you going to deploy Revis? Is he going to be a left side guy? You know, Browner has been a right side guy his entire career. Have you given thought to that? And does it matter what guys have done in the past without your coaching or without being asked to do certain things with the Patriots?
Well, certainly we have thought about it, and you know, we've worked with those players in some of the positions that you talked about, and seeing what kind of flexibility they have, and I think that's something we're going to have to kind of find the sweet spot on. But you know, just because a guy hasn't done it or hasn't been asked to do it, I don't think necessarily means that he can't do it. In some cases, that could be true, but I don't think that's necessarily always true. I've had a lot of experience with players, and some guys, you know, can move easily, as you said, and some guys can't, and some guys have never been asked to move, but then when they have, it turns out well. Like, you know, Mankins playing tackle against Baltimore last year after not doing it for 9, 10 years, however long it is he's been here. So we'll just have to see how it goes. But I think both players have a good attitude. They're flexible. They're open-minded, doing what's best for the team, what's best for the defense. And you know, we'll just see exactly what that is going forward. But we have experimented with those guys doing different things, as well as other people in the secondary doing different things. And we'll probably do a little more of it against Philadelphia and maybe Carolina. I don't know. And then, you know, at some point try to figure out, you know, what's best for us, what's best for them.
Bill, two quick questions that I feel like I got to ask. With Philadelphia coming up on Thursday, any thought to how much Tom and Darrell and some of the starters will play?
No, not really. Our thoughts first are just planning for practice and making sure we get productive time out of that with the different drills that we're doing, some situational things that we're doing, and then we'll probably talk about playing time, you know, sometime Thursday, you know, after we've been through a week of practice. Going to be honest with you right now, probably something will change between now and then anyway. A player that's, we're not sure if he'll be available, maybe, and a player that looks like they're available now may not be available by Thursday. So we'll wait and have those conversations when we get a little closer to the game.
Sure. And the other one, Ryan Mallett hasn't been at practice the last couple days. Is there anything you can tell us about his situation? Did it have to do maybe with him sliding the other night and getting his knee brace caught?
I think Ryan's in the day-to-day category, so as are, I'd say, quite a few of our players on the roster. You know, it's been training camp's a tough time for all of us. You know, there's a lot of snaps out there, and body takes a lot of wear and tear, and so, you know, he missed today, but we'll just keep an eye on him, monitor him, and keep with it day-to-day, and when he's ready to go and gets clearance, then I'm sure he'll be back out there.
My final thing for you, I don't know if you've heard of this ice bucket challenge to raise awareness for ALS. Well, listen, we have the audio. This involves John Mara of the Giants. So listen to this, Bill.
Hi, I'm John Mara from the New York Giants, and I accept this challenge on behalf of Dick Kelly, the Frates family, and on behalf of ALS Research. And I hereby nominate Woody Johnson, Robert Kraft, and Bill Belichick to do the same. Feels good.
Well, it's nice of John to offer that up. And, you know, certainly, you know a number of people that have, you know, been affected by ALS, probably most prominently Steve Gleason, who, you know, I've known for a number of years, and certainly willing to support that, you know, that to try to find a cure for that and to try to help people that have that disease. So I'm 100% behind it.
That was great. Well, you know, I was challenged by the mayor, Marty Walsh. So I think down here tomorrow we'll have the cameras and I'll just dump me with ice. I think Ben and Andy would love to do that. Maybe some fans would love to do it as well.
I know there's a lot of people like to dump ice water on me.
I was going to say, did you just accept the challenge? Is that what's going on here?
Well, I planned on doing something with it, so we'll take care of it.
Excellent.
And I don't want to alarm you, but Linda seems to have caught wind of it on Twitter. She was tweeting about it, so sounds like it may be in your future.
Oh, that's exciting.
You're on Twitter all the time, right? I see you. I mean, tweeting
Twitter,
all
my face, photo face, instant face, all that. Yeah, I'm all over.
You can get all those on your new tablets that you have right on the sideline.
I'm all over.
Tweet during games. Keep us up to date.
Except when the Wi-Fi breaks down. All right, Bill.
You know we're not allowed to do social media during the games. Yes, don't start us on that. We're not allowed to do that.
All right, Bill. Well, we appreciate the time. Good luck. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Ben, Andy, thank you.
Thank you.
This is Bill Belichick of the Patriots. Patriots Monday.